people talk a lot about the good old days when kids ran around the neighborhood barefoot and no one ever locked their front doors. Parents and grandparents often recollect times that family friends would just drop by. Even mid-recipe, if you open the cupboard to find the sugar jar empty, it wasn't awkward to walk next door and ask for a cup. And all that sounds nice and peaceful, but was it actually better? This probably isn't true for all of us, but if we're not intentional, it's easy to become garage door neighbors. The only time anyone ever sees us is when the garage door opens and when it goes down. Otherwise, we work, go out with friends, take care of our families, and stay inside and go to sleep. So take a minute to think about the people who live around you. Do you know them? Do you spend time with them? Today's episode zeroes in on this problem. People are lonely. We've lost touch with what it means to live in community. We're currently going through the Book of Daniel in a series called Kingdom of Men. And the question we're asking today is this: how do I be a modern day Daniel in the place I actually live? How do I love my neighbors well, or perhaps a better place to start? How do I even know my neighbors to begin with? The conversation we're having today is with our downtown campus pastor, P.D. Kinder, who, as they prepped to launch their campus in early 2017, he and his family moved downtown Indianapolis, and the theme of neighborhood has been heavy on his mind. To be clear, the conversation that we're having today is not because we're experts, but because we are in the midst of learning this ourselves. Hey, Petey.
What's up?
How are you?
Good. You?
Good. I'm great.
Good.
So, Petey, we're going to jump right into it today.
Let's do it.
So, tell us a little bit about your transition to being a downtown campus pastor and then what that's meant for you and your family. You guys moved to downtown Indianapolis.
Yeah.
You identifiably have said, I've lived in the burbs my whole life.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so we knew once that once we felt like God had called us to be a part of the downtown campus and to be the campus pastor, I knew that we couldn't just be in the suburbs and drive in. I knew that we had to do something more. I think there's just something to be said for being part of the community that you're ministering in. Mm-hmm. I think it sends a message to the city that we're not just going to drive in and drive out, that not only do we have a church building in the city, but our people actually live in the city. And we actually have a really good number of people that drive to like our Northwest or our North Campus that already live in the downtown area. So there are Traders Point people that already live in downtown. Mm-hmm. So I just knew it'd be really important that if we're going to really pastor that campus well and be a part of the community, that we need to live down there. So we started looking for a house, and we found an old house, like 110 years old. So we've been putting some work into it. I've officially reached my quota of painting walls. I'm done painting walls. Not even a good painter, but anyways. So we have been downtown for about 5 or 6 months now, and man, we just love it. The city's just such a cool place. Indy's a very, very cool city. I don't say that just because we're now downtown Indy campus.
You don't have to say it.
Yeah, because I mean, yeah. I've been to other big cities, and Indy's just a really unique place, man. Culture's growing there, and it's a friendly city. There's so much good that's happening in the city right now. It's a very cool place to be, and it's not so big and so daunting like a New York City or a Chicago that you just feel like you're just another number. So there's a lot of cool stuff going on, and we're excited to be there. I think it's the one something I didn't expect. It's
made
me. I was
gonna say, what do you love about it? And what's been surprising to you?
It made me a runner.
Really?
Yeah. So it's the one thing.
So if you're feeling lazy,
move downtown.
Okay.
I hate running with a burning passion.
Yeah, me too.
And this has made running tolerable, because you can run through so many cool places. Like from my house, it's like a few miles to Lucas Oil. So like, I'll go run to Lucas Oil Stadium. Like I get to run to like an awesome football stadium. Like that's crazy.
Just on your morning.
Yeah. Like I'll wake up early and go run to Mass Ave. Like how cool is that? Like
that's really cool.
Yeah. You get to like run past cool things. Indiana War Memorial. That's like my favorite place to go run near. So
made you a runner.
Now here's the thing. It's made me a runner for like a few months.
Right. So, talk to you in a year.
Talk to me in a year, and if I'm still running, that would be a totally different
story.
Maybe
you'll just become a stroller.
A stroller. A walker.
A walker.
Yeah.
Speed walker.
A speed walker. No. A walker at best. But
made you a runner.
Yeah, so it's made me a runner. I think the biggest things that surprised me about living in the city, I already alluded to one of them. It is very different than what I anticipated in the sense that it's so friendly. There are so many people in the city that have moved to the city for the purpose of community, for the purpose of getting to know people, for the purpose of being a part of something and part of neighborhoods that are closer together. I mean, the houses are all pretty darn close together, so that's part of it. But I just kind of anticipated, like, when I visited other cities, there's this put your head down, look at your phone, kind of be in your own world, because there's so many people. And in Indy, it just feels like there's just a warmth and a friendliness. And we've met so many. I mean, we can't go for a nightly walk without meeting four or five people.
Wow.
So just the friendliness has been awesome. On the opposite side of it, which is maybe what some of our listeners might not expect, is it's been shocking to me how few people follow Jesus in the city. And to see that comparison, like, there's incredible friendliness, incredible warmth from the people, but it's really hard to find many people that are connected to the local church in the city. And so you could get depressed about it, or you could look at it as a great opportunity. And so I think that's what I'm really excited about, is that I think it's a great opportunity for the church to shine bright in a place where there's not a lot of hope and not a lot of, not a lot of Jesus.
Yeah.
So
that's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, the problem that we want to talk through today is really around this theme of neighborhood. And so I know that you kind of come at this from a few different angles of now living in a more urban environment. But of course, you and your family have lived in suburban neighborhoods and all of that stuff. So we're sort of going to approach that from all of those different contexts today, more have a general conversation. But really, we want to kind of start with these questions of, why don't we know our neighbors? And what gets in the way of strong community? So I just kind of want to toss that to you first of, why don't you think, or what are some of the reasons that we don't know our neighbors? And what gets in the way of us having strong community?
Yeah, I think that the why don't we know our neighbors, there's a few reasons I think we can, like, kind of superficially point to, and they're true in all of our lives, suburban, urban, whatever. And one of them is busyness. I mean, we are in general overscheduled. And that's true of me. I think that's true of almost all of us in the room. We just feel like the amount of margin we have in our life is so thin. So yeah, I mean, like, my kids started preschool this year, and I realized that, like, preschool has, like, responsibilities for the parents just as much as the kids. It's like, you got to go do
it's
things.
It's really not fair.
Yeah.
Just like, I wasn't. Lunch and stuff.
Yeah. I wasn't ready for that.
What is up with that?
I wasn't ready for that. like orientation nights. Like,
yeah,
I just dropped them off. But anyways, but it just adds the, it adds to the business. So we're going into a new season of kids being in school and seeing what that's like now. So I think in general, we're just all so busy that the tendency would be between work, between family, between
friends,
between having a personal life, between having anything fun that you want to do on your own, any recreational hobbies. It's like, and sleep and eat and shower.
And now run.
You have no time left.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, and I think that's most people think, how would I ever have time to just do more than a wave to my neighbor as they're mowing the lawn? So I think business is a real deal. Yeah, I think to some degree, some people are scared of what that would look like. Yeah, I think some people are just scared to get to break out of their comfort zone, to get to know new people. I think there's a level of fear with that. It takes some courage and some boldness to put yourself out there and get to know a brand new person. So I think there's some fear. The whole concept of moving from the front porch to the back porch that has happened, that we see it all over the place, that people tend to have really nice fenced in, privacy fenced backyards. And like, my front porch when I lived in Brownsburg was a grand total of like 4 feet wide. I mean, like, we could fit a chair in there, but then your knees are getting bloodied by the front porch railing because you can't even fit on that thing. Is it like, so front porches just aren't a thing for most people. So most people have retreated to the backyard. I think that's part of it. But man, overall, I think that the big reason that we don't get to know our neighbors, the reason that we don't take that step, is that I just think that most of us, myself included, don't have a strong burden for people who don't know Jesus. And I think that at the end of the day, if you have a burden to reach people, if you have a burden to share the gospel with people and to know that Jesus is the only hope, he's the only thing that matters at the end of this thing. And so if you really have a burden for people, I think you can overcome the business. I think you can overcome the fear. I think you can overcome the setup of your home. And I know that that's hard, but man, I think that's something I've been praying a lot as we've moved downtown, and should have been praying a long time ago. But just, God, how can my heart reflect yours? Because it doesn't. I mean, there are times when I walk home, even now when I live downtown, and all of my neighbors don't go to church right now. And so I'm I'm going through that. I'm saying, all right, how can I have a heart that reflects God's heart? Mm-hmm. So my prayer oftentimes has been, God, help me to see things the way you see things. Help my heart to break for what breaks yours. Mm-hmm. And help me to see people as you see them. And
yeah.
I think that burden piece is really huge. And that's been like the real convicting piece for me is now that I see most of my neighbors don't follow Jesus and I have a burden for them. That was also very true when I lived in the suburbs. Mm-hmm. It's just I didn't have the burden. Mm-hmm. So it's been convicting.
So tell me a little bit more about that. I'm guessing there are a lot of people who might not even see this as a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Like, okay, so yeah, I'm busy and yeah, I'm a little bit nervous. I prefer the made up or the community that I've made in my own life. I want to hang out in my free time with people I want to hang out with. Why is this even a problem? What's wrong with not knowing my neighbors? What's wrong with not having a burden? I think maybe we might not ask that out loud, but some people do just be like, okay, yeah, but I'm going to move along. I mean,
yeah.
So what's the problem with not?
Yeah, because most people are content to just be alone.
Mm-hmm.
Like your neighbors are not screaming for community. They probably are internally, and there's some things that are true about themselves that on a subconscious level and a spiritual level that are lacking.
Mm-hmm.
But surface level, most of them are fine to be alone and to spend the rest of their days just doing their own thing.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want to be intruded on.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that, yes, many people are living in isolation. Many people are living alone. But at the end of the day, man, if as a Christian, it should be at the heart of what we do that if we want people to come to know Jesus, we have to get to know people.
Mm-hmm.
We have to get into the lives of others. We have to intrude on them in some way. We have to get out there and get to know people.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way that we can bring someone to Jesus without also bringing them into a relationship. That living in isolation piece is part of it. But then you think from a church perspective, man, if we're not being good neighbors, if we're not developing relationships, if we're not getting out into the community and getting to know people, at the end of the day, we're hoping that our church website, our church marketing, and all that kind of stuff will draw people in, and then Aaron will preach a sermon, and they'll come to Jesus. We're basically just relying on church programming and just hoping that that'll work.
Yeah.
And we just know that's not how people come to know Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, some people come through the website and then come and show it for the first time, but
yeah.
It's way more about relationship.
Yep.
So yeah, I think the heart of it, the reason that's wrong is that I don't think you can live out the Great Commission.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think you can live out Matthew chapter 28
mm-hmm.
of go and make disciples of all nations. I don't think you do that without being a good neighbor.
Yep. Well, I think too, the thing that I've heard you say before is not just having a burden for, the eternal life of someone, but also their life here of having a burden for that. There are people that are walking amongst us in our neighborhood that are dealing with the same problems that we are, the same anxieties, but without the hope of Christ.
Yeah.
And, when I think through my daily life and the things I'm worried about my son or, my home or my marriage or my career or whatever, at the end of the day, my identity lies in Christ. So I can go to sleep at night with that. But there are people that are down the street from me that have those same fears and stay up all night worried about it. And do I have a burden for that? Do I even care?
Yeah.
That's recognizing good. That people live alone or without that hope.
Yeah.
Do I care about that?
Yeah. There's the eternal perspective that I think always motivates me. I'm just I've always been me. I never want to be we're selling fire insurance to people just so they don't burn in hell. But the reality is life is short and we believe eternity is forever. And so that does motivate me to a large degree. But then there's also the fact that Jesus says that he came to give us life and life to the full, that life without him, even if your neighbors feel and they seem content and they seem satisfied, maybe we just trust and believe that life with Jesus is the best life possible. Not always the easiest, but there's just nothing like it.
Yeah.
And I just don't want my neighbors to miss out on that. So I think it's a burden for both. I think it's a burden to help people walk with Jesus in this life and the life to come.
Mm-hmm. I think, too, that there's a recognition that has to happen that then leads to a burden, right?
Yeah.
So it reminds me of when I moved into my house here in Indy, when my husband and I moved into our house, our church family at that time, all moved us in. There were, 25 people who showed up and moved all of our stuff and brought their trucks and... I mean, we barely lift fingers. Like, I told everyone where to go, and it was sort of a dream scenario.
That's awesome.
But someone in my neighborhood came out because we were new and, like, helped us in. And I think that they were just looking around like, what is happening? Like, who are all of these people? Mm. And later, someone who was helping us move in who wasn't a Christian said to me, like, do you know that this is really, really special and different? Like, people don't have this. Mm. Like, people have to hire moving companies, which there's nothing wrong with that. But, like, people don't have people that come up and, like, show up to do this stuff for them. Like, what is up? Like, what is happening with these weirdos, sort of? I mean, not weirdos, but I think we have to recognize, I think sometimes for, as Christians, we can take community for granted and recognize that people are lonely.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I mean...
Yeah, we just talked about this. Jake Barker and I were talking about this earlier. Is that it seems like, and when you read history and you read the New Testament, that the early church attracted people into the faith by way of their community as opposed to programming. Mm-hmm. It was way more about who they were as a community and who they were together in relationship. That was one of the main attractional pieces that people saw. Like, oh my gosh, what is that? Like, I've never seen a group of people like that before. Mm-hmm. And that was a massive way that they helped people come to understand who Jesus is. Mm-hmm. And I think that's something we've lost out on in the past probably 40, 50 years of Christianity due to a lot of different things. But I think that we need to get back there because you're right. I mean, in isolation, I just don't think you can truly come to an understanding of the gospel. In isolation, I just don't know that you can work through your issues. I mean, you can hear a sermon and be convicted one-on-one. But it takes relationships to really understand what it means to live for Jesus. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, and I think that there are some stats that can speak to that. Yeah. So not to be depressing, but like, I mean, I think that we can just acknowledge that in the United States right now, there is a suicide death every 12 minutes. And we can't blame all of that on loneliness. Obviously, there's mental health issues that contribute to that. But even if you look at stats about people's use of social media and the levels of anxiety they experience when they scroll through Facebook for longer than 30 minutes so that they feel inadequate or alone, or, you know, looking at other people's lives on Instagram. I mean, we can go on and bore people, which I don't want to do, but it's like, okay, like we've created these individual lives that in a lot of ways have benefited us of back porches are great, but there's something missing with that I think that you're speaking to of like the church needs to speak into like the hope that's missing there.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the church was God's plan for that. And the church was designed so that no one has to be alone. So talk to me a little bit about how the church can help. Like how can the church be the answer to sort of this problem? How can we as the church, not just the church as like a program, but how can we as people who follow Jesus, what can we do to reach our neighbors?
Yeah, I think that it it brings us back to a few of the values that we always talk about at Traders Point, that we always want to be kind of figuring out how to live out in our lives. But you know, with relational evangelism, we throw that out a lot, and you know, people hear evangelism and they just cringe. They think of handing out tracts. They think of standing on the street corner with a megaphone and shouting at people. But there's a reason we put the word relational in there. That we have a responsibility to share faith with people in a relational way. So I think the church can help with that in the sense, like, yes, the world is isolated, but really from the church's perspective, isolation is not really the problem. The problem is that they don't have Jesus. Mm-hmm. And we can develop relationships with people through being good neighbors, through being present in our communities, so that people can come to know Jesus. I mean, I think that this is the best way to reach people. I'm so convicted of that, man. I think that there are some people that can be won over by church programming. I think at the end of the day, if we're going to see massive cultural change and see a ton of people come to know Jesus in the next 40, 50 years, it's going to be through relational evangelism. Mm-hmm. And so I think through that, I think through like even intentional discipleship, we always say that we want to dig our wells deep. Mm-hmm. Man, in your neighborhood, there are people in your neighborhood who have crossed that line and have become followers of Jesus, but they have no one to disciple them. Mm-hmm. They have no one to pour into them.
Yeah.
So what does it look like for you in your neighborhood to identify who those people are and to figure out how can I have them over on a regular basis to pour into their life, to disciple them? How can I set up even a group, a in-home Bible study, something to help people in my neighborhood who are They love Jesus. They follow Jesus. Mm-hmm. But they're not being discipled. They're still living in isolation.
Yeah. And I think, too, like taking on an honest assessment of kind of what you referenced earlier of, am I too busy? Are there things practically speaking, like, do I have a burden for people first?
Yeah.
And then practically speaking, am I so busy that I don't have time for this, or that I'm not making this a priority in our family's life? Like, I know for our family, like, there was a time a few years ago where, like, man, we are doing so much quote unquote ministry right now.
Mm-hmm.
We looked at our calendar. We were like, okay, 5 nights a week we are with Christians.
Mm-hmm.
This is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what is going on, you know? And so we just took this honest, like, Sharpie kind of to our calendar in our lives of, like, okay, like, yeah, I want to get to intentional discipleship, but right now I'm in a place where I'm driving to a church building so often that I'm not even, like, living this out in the place that I actually live.
Yeah.
So, like, how have you guys navigated that as a family?
Yeah, I can feel it.
In the different places that you live.
Like,
yeah.
Like, I can feel it in my bones when our schedule is too busy. And I can just see, like, man, we haven't, like, especially in our house downtown now, we haven't sat on our front porch. Like, I can just feel it. It's like, we haven't been out there just to hang in, like, 4 or 5 nights. And that's just crazy because everyone's normally on the front porch where I live. It's just like a thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so I can always kind of just feel it in my bones rising up. Like, we haven't been spending much time outside. We haven't gone to the park much. We haven't taken a walk lately with the kids. Like, just that kind of stuff. We'll get to some of those practical things we can do here in just a minute. But yeah, so I think you do have to take stock of your schedule, and you do have to say no to stuff, man. I mean, we've said no to some things. Like, there's some people that we've really wanted to hang out with that we're just, like, figuring out, man, if we say yes to that, we will be saying no to being present in our neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've had to say no to some things so that we can be present in the hood.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, so then there was another one of gifted service.
Yeah, gifted service.
Talk a little bit about what that looks like.
Yeah, so for me, I've been trying to figure out how in our neighborhood can we just get involved with serving in things that are already going on in the neighborhood? And how can we include people in the neighborhood in on what we're already doing as a church? So, like, we just had the, we sent some relief down to the Louisiana flood victims. And so I put it on our Nextdoor app of, hey, we're going to do this. Here's the list of stuff we need. If anyone wants to jump in on it, let me know. And we had, like, 3 or 4 families that dropped off massive bags of stuff. And then we took it up to Lebanon. So it was a cool way to get our neighborhood in on what the church was doing. People that aren't even connected to the church.
Right.
And so it was a cool way to see those paths merge. There's an event coming up in our neighborhood here in, like, I think it's next month. It's, like, at the end of September that I'm going to be doing setup and tear down for. It's, like, the nitty gritty stuff that nobody wants to do, but I'm just trying to, like, get in there and just serve on stuff that's already going on in the neighborhood for the good of the neighborhood. Last night I was at a neighborhood crime forum where it was basically a bunch of concerned neighbors about the uptick in crime in our area. And honestly, I trust the cops. I know it's a tough issue, and I want solutions, all that, but I was there way less for me and my fears and way more concerned with making sure that I'm there to serve my neighbors and there to just be a part of what's going on in the community. So I think that sort of thing in your neighborhoods, like, how can you get involved in the life of your neighborhood? How can you get involved in your community? That's one thing that being downtown has taught me that I should have known before, but I just didn't, is in the downtown area, everyone has such pride in their neighborhoods. And that's something that I've never really felt before. Like, when I lived in the suburbs, I didn't feel that sense of, like, ownership in my neighborhood. And I think the more that we can get there and show that we are involved in the community, that we're out doing things to serve the community, I think that speaks volumes to people.
I think also it's important to say that just because maybe your experience moving downtown has elevated all of those things, all of the things you mentioned aren't specific to an urban area.
Not at all. They're all stuff that I could have been doing in the suburbs.
Yep.
I think that's been the most convicting thing, that moving downtown has not, it's not like downtown's better than not downtown. It's just downtown has, God has brought an awareness to me of things that I wasn't doing beforehand that I could have been doing.
Yeah.
And so that's what I hope that for our whole church we can learn through our whole church moving downtown, because it's not just the Kinders being downtown. We're one church in multiple locations. Church Point is downtown. So I think that's one of the ways that I hope that we can learn together, is that some of the things that truthfully people that don't even love Jesus downtown are doing, we could straight up learn from and replicate in neighborhoods and have a massive impact for the gospel.
Yeah. So relational evangelism, intentional discipleship, and gifted service. which to also say all of those things require us to be present.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And to have a deep burden. So those things come way before you can get into the like checklist sort of. Not checklist, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
So let's talk through some of the practical things, like sort of the action. We've talked about the problem. We've talked about why it's a problem. Mm-hmm. The plan is the church. Like God created the church. So now the action part of that, of what are some practical things that we can start doing today, no matter where we're at, to become better neighbors?
Yeah.
Do we eat at the same restaurants on a regular basis? Do we join Nextdoor app? Are we supposed to throw block parties? Like, what are some practical things we can do to be more present in our neighborhoods, no matter where we live? So let's talk through a little bit of that stuff.
Yeah, I would definitely say one practical thing you just mentioned, Nextdoor. If your neighborhood is not doing Nextdoor and you could pioneer that for your neighborhood, that would be a great way to be.
So what is Nextdoor?
So Nextdoor is basically the most simple way I can put it. There are pros and cons to it. It's basically like Facebook for a neighborhood.
Yeah.
You can only get onto it if you live in a certain, like in that area.
Mm-hmm.
They will send you a postcard to your home with your like access code to get in.
Mm-hmm.
So it ensures that it's only the neighborhood that's in.
Yeah.
And so like for us downtown, it's a way for us to keep up on if there's any suspicious activity going on that gets shared. If there are any needs in the neighborhood that gets shared, cool stuff that's happening.
Mm-hmm.
It's just it's a really easy way to connect with neighbors.
Mm-hmm.
And that wasn't, to my knowledge, happening in the neighborhood that I came from in the suburbs.
Okay.
And so I just think to myself, if I could put myself back in my shoes before I moved downtown, I would want to get that started ASAP. Just as a way to get to know neighbors better and create that tool for social networking.
Yep.
So it's been huge for us downtown.
Yeah, we use Nextdoor app. I should say we. I mostly, and I tell my husband what's going on, but they put all kinds of stuff in there that's really cool. Like I just joined a book club that was started in the Nextdoor app. And that's really cool.
Yeah.
People's lawnmowers break.
Yep.
They put it on there. Like, can I borrow a lawnmower? You know, whatever. Do you know a 15-year-old who wants to mow lawns? There's all kinds of stuff in there to interact with neighbors. So
it also can kind of become like Craigslist for your neighborhood.
It can be sort of.
Like I sold shoes on there one time.
Shoes.
Not gonna lie, I had about four pairs of shoes in my closet that I wasn't wearing anymore, and so I put them on Nextdoor and they sold.
Well, and that same note, when we get rid of furniture we don't care about, I just post a picture and say it's at the end of our driveway.
So that's
come pick it up.
There's some people on Nextdoor in my neighborhood who have said, "Hey, tickets to this concert, it's tonight. They're under my front porch or my front mat thing." I'm like, you're leaving concert tickets? Like, it's like a mad dash over there to get them.
Yep.
So Nextdoor.
Nextdoor app.
And really, for anyone who, if you don't have that going on in your neighborhood, I think that's a great way to put yourself out there to get to know people. Mm-hmm. If you were the one who was pioneering it, that's a great thing.
Because if you're the first one to sign up, correct me if I'm wrong, you can hit different houses and encourage them, and then they'll send them a postcard to have them sign up. So yeah, it's great.
Yeah, so a few things that my wife and I have done since we moved downtown, and again, all this is stuff we've really learned from our neighbors. So I would say it's not anything unique that we've thought of. It's stuff that we've just learned by seeing how other people do it. We have some of the best neighbors in the world. I believe that. But some things we've done, I think moving to the front yard is a really big deal. And I've seen some families doing this in the suburbs already. There was a family who did this in the neighborhood I came from. Every single day I would drive home from work, and the mom and the dad would be sitting out in lawn chairs, and the kids would be running around in the driveway. And
they just
did it, and people got to know them really well. Mm-hmm. It was cool.
Mm-hmm.
And so I know my wife tried to start doing that when I'd come home from work, I'd come home and she'd have the boys in the front yard playing. They'd have a blanket spread out, just like hanging out.
Yep.
And so I think the more we can move to the front yard again, it's a positive move.
Yep.
But I think along with that, I think that as people walk by you, you have to be willing to talk and not just like the, "Hey, good evening, how are you?"
Move on.
You have to actually be willing to like have a conversation. That's something that I've learned from my neighbors living downtown, is that I kind of came in with the mentality of you just say hi and you go into your home. My neighbors would come up to my front porch and like walk up my steps and up to my front porch and just hang out and just talk and get to know me. And we'd have five or six neighbors down on the sidewalk talking and hanging out, and they just sit and talk for a long time. And to me, it's been a hurdle to get over because I'm just used to
going in,
shutting the door and being done, you know? And so I've had to grow comfortable with that. But it's been such a great opportunity to get to know people and develop relationships.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd say you have to be willing to like actually want to get to know some people, ask some leading questions and have longer than a 1-minute conversation. It may take you like a 10, 15, 20-minute conversation.
Yep. And I know I said this at the beginning, but you and I are coming at this not as experts, but as people who are learning about this. And so I even saw in the suburbs, well, I live in like the city suburbs, but Halloween every year, one of our neighbors started grilling out hot dogs in their like driveway and setting out all the lawn chairs. And so Kyle and I did that. And it was weird at first because I'm used to like, I'm a really bad Halloween neighbor. Like I would just like open the door and shut it. I'm feeling really convicted about this conversation right now. But so we're like, okay, let's like Halloween. Yeah. It's like the one night our whole neighborhood is out.
Yeah.
Like, what are we doing? Yep. And just this conviction of like, I can get to know so many people tonight that would take me all year to get to know. So I'm going to put my bottom down on the driveway.
Instead of being concerned with how many pieces of candy each little kid took from the bowl.
I mean, yeah. I was a little concerned. Yeah. I'm going to be
honest. Five candy rules.
Well, because then there's like the older kid who takes like 10.
You're that older turd.
Just go home, you know, in the name of Jesus. But
hate those kids.
So get out in the front.
Yeah, I think get out in the front. I think be willing to talk longer. I think that... you know, walking the neighborhood is such a big deal. I think the more you, like, yes, we want to get out and be in our yards and be out front, but the more you can just walk the neighborhood and get to know where people live. Mm-hmm. And again, still stop to have those longer conversations, I think is a good practice to get into. We try to go on a walk every night. It's been so humid lately. It's just like miserable to be outside.
Death.
And my wife is like, she's like 10 weeks away from having a baby.
I thought you almost said 10 months pregnant. Nah, I was like that's
not I'm sorry.
Thing.
Gosh, 8 weeks away from having a baby. Anyways, so... we haven't done that as much lately, but when we were doing that a couple months ago, man, we met a different family every night.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, I would say walk the hood as much as you can.
Mm-hmm.
The last thing I would say that's been so hard for me, but it's been great, is I think you have to be willing as a neighbor to ask for help from other neighbors.
Hmm.
And I think that opens a great door that when you put yourself out there as dependent on your neighbors for something, it's a great way to build a relationship. I mean, and not just in like a forced way, like I legitimately needed an extension ladder 2 weekends ago. Mm-hmm. My gutters were all blocked up and the rains came down, the floods came up. And so I needed to clean
Is
them
that
dang.
A song?
Yeah.
Okay. Sounded like a song, but I don't know.
I think it's a VBS song. Rains came down and the floods came up. I shouldn't know. I didn't grow up in church, but
sorry.
But somehow I know it. But
you needed a ladder.
I need a ladder. So I got the ladder from him, but it was so cool because, I mean, that just like, it shows my neighbors that I'm not afraid to be vulnerable. I'm not afraid to ask for help. I'm not afraid to just like depend on them. And I want them to come to me with the same stuff. Like we've got neighbors that are moving into the left of us that are remodeling their house right now. And their house just got, they're not living in it because it's gutted completely right now. But they just had somebody broke into it in the middle of the day and stole a bunch of stuff out of it. And so now they're texting me to like just check on their house from time to time and just make sure things are going okay, make sure their contractors are there. So they're depending on us. We're depending on them. And I think it just creates that natural relationship.
Yeah. So. Well, and I would say, too, I think that sometimes we underestimate, like, people do want to help.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, the way that I met my neighbor was one summer my husband was out of town and I locked myself out of our house and my baby was in our house, which is not ideal, P.S. And so I was in my pajamas. It was like 6:30 in the morning.
Oh,
and I was like, I don't know anyone in my neighborhood. I should have by that point. So I just ran to my neighbors who I barely knew, banged on our door. She came out and we busted through my house together, which is not
awesome.
The ideal meet your neighbor story. But I thought she was going to be so annoyed, like so inconvenienced. Like, who is this lunatic in pajamas? And maybe she was thinking all of that. Yeah. But we've been we've been great neighbors and friends ever since.
That's
we
awesome.
Have each other's phone numbers. She brought me snacks later that day. Mm. Like, most people want to help. We just think, like, I just need to figure this out all on my own.
Yeah.
Which is not really the way of Jesus at all.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it is the ultimate, like, you can't lead someone to faith in Christ without also helping them become vulnerable. And how do you help them become vulnerable if you aren't willing to be vulnerable yourself?
Mm-hmm.
So that to me has been crucial. And also our neighbors on the right are just the nicest people in the world and they have all the tools in the world and they know how to take care of an old home. And so like I'm learning stuff from them all the time. I feel like
that's awesome.
I feel like they've basically taken me under their wing as like their project, like this poor,
like,
this poor little kid has no idea what he's doing. And so, but it's been great.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I'd say just ask for help. Find ways you can ask for help.
That's awesome. Yeah. Well, Petey, before we end today, would you mind just praying for us as a church as we figure this out?
Yeah,
love to love neighbors. So
yeah, let's do it. Jesus, we love you so much, and I just pray for anyone who's listening right now that you would just empower them, God, I pray you'd help us to have a heart that reflects yours, help our heart to break for whatever breaks yours, God. And we know that there are people that are in our neighborhoods, that are in our workplaces that we're doing life with every single day who don't know you. And so, God, help us to see them the way you see them, as a lost son or daughter who you care for deeply. And you're praying for that moment when they come home to you. And so help us to see people that way, to hurt for people the way that you hurt for people. And ultimately, God, that heart would develop urgency in us, that we would feel just a pressing need to be good neighbors, to do relational evangelism, to do intentional discipleship, and to serve our neighbors and to serve the city so that you might be known. Just empower us, guide us in this, God. We don't know how to do it. We're not great at it. And so we need you to teach us in your ways, God. So I pray that you just continue to guide us, direct us. And I pray that we might be a church that 10, 20, 30 years from now is known as a church full of good neighbors, that the city would miss us if we ever shut our doors down. And so we just lift that up to you, God. We trust you, and we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks so much for listening today. If you wouldn't mind, leave us a review in iTunes. Just helps more people find the show. Also, we talked about several things today about neighborhood and how to be a better neighbor. And we've got some resources and articles for you over in the show notes. So check those out at tbcc.org/podcast show. Also, we know that we talked a little bit today about depression and living in isolation, and that some of you are battling those issues right now. So if you need to talk with someone, we would love to connect with you. Email us at podcast@tpcc.org. As always, thanks so much for listening, and we'll see you next time.